Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammāsambuddhassa. Bhutaṃ tamaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So I think we all made a good decision to spend our Black Friday getting the best deal in town. So congratulations. I went for a walk and after the meal, and it's just so peaceful here and quiet. The colors are still beautiful. The air is crisp, very refreshing, just healing for the body and the mind. And it's flat compared to a Bayagiri, so that's a real treat. And we're all here because we made a choice to be here. I'm sure there were other things pulling at people, and a decision was made, and people decided to come and spend this time here in community with the monastics and with our Kalyanamitta. I've been reflecting a lot lately just about choice. I think that's in the very, very, very first Dhamma talk I heard. I heard the part about we're prisoners in our mind because of our minds, and that there's a choice. We have a choice to be free from that prison. And so, you know, choice is plays a role for all of us throughout our day and throughout our lives. Sometimes we have to make choices that are a little bit weighty. Sometimes there's no weight to them at all. It's not a problem. It's very easy, straightforward. But there are times when we have to make decisions and choices. And it's not always so straightforward and so clear. And so we gather our facts and try to find moments of stillness. This is, of course, given that we have the opportunity to sit with something like this. And sometimes in that stillness that we can create for ourselves or find ourselves in, the answer just drops in there sometimes. That's kind of how it was for me moving up to the monastery. I was going almost every weekend from Mountain View, which is south of San Francisco. And I wanted to be there every Friday. I was leaving work earlier and earlier, and I was leaving the monastery every Sunday later and later. But I still didn't really get it, that I was really wanting to live up there. And it, in some ways, it didn't feel like it was my choice, because there was a voice that seemed to be coming from somewhere else that was saying that this is the thing for me to be doing. This was the right time. So I did make a decision to go, and I didn't know for a while if, I mean, at some level I did know it was the right decision, because it wasn't really my decision, but it was something very gut level. But it was a struggle being there, so it wasn't clear to me for a while if how this was going to work out. But I have to say, just sticking with it and paying attention to the different junctions along the way when decisions had to be made, I feel like I can't imagine my life any different. I feel very grateful. I was walking, when I was walking, I passed one building, and one sign said, it said chapel and fireside chat or something. I don't know what it was, something with a fireplace. Probably you could just sit and talk. And then it said service learning center. And I thought, yeah, I've been learning about service. I think we all have. It's a lifelong process. I'm not sure what you can get out of a class, but anything that helps. And choices. People used to, I don't hear it so much anymore, maybe it's because of where I'm living, but people used to talk a lot about closure and making right what's been done in the past. And reflecting on that, it's kind of like, yeah, you can't change what's happened in the past. And there are situations where really the work that can be done and that has to be done is really inside, internally. There may be a situation where you will go and actually ask forgiveness from somebody or apologize for something, or but we can't go back and change things. We have to accept the responsibility for our decisions, for our actions. And in some ways that can feel like there's a pressure on us to do the, do what's right. But at the same time, there's a freedom in that, because we do, in the end, make the choice. And so instead of looking back, maybe we work through something, we forgive ourselves, we ask forgiveness, or we forgive someone else, or whatever helps us to move forward. But then what we really need to be putting our attention to is the now. What are we doing now? Are we being responsible for our actions? Are we living in a wholesome and skillful way that brings joy, brings happiness? We can never know the outcome of our choices. We can guess what might happen, but we really don't know. It's uncertain. There was a movie a long time ago, which I loved. I thought it was very funny. It was extremely dark humor. Now I'm going to forget the name of it. It took place in the Midwest, Minnesota or something. Fargo. Longport. And if you didn't see it, it was very dark humor. My friend and I were absolutely the only ones in the theater laughing. But it was a fantastic example of things going wrong. It's like this guy had this big plan. He needed money, and his wife's father had money, and he was going to have, he hired these thugs to kidnap his wife, and it was supposed to be a fake thing, and then he was going to get money out of the father-in-law, and then the wife would get back to him, and then everything would be okay. And of course it didn't go anything like that. It just one bad thing after another. And it really struck me. It's really like, that's how it is. We make these choices. So you can't barter with, you can't really put it down. We don't live in a vacuum. We live affected by others and influenced by others and circumstances. So that movie's always been a really good reflection for me, because it was, it was farcical. It was supposed to be a joke. But it was also true, too. It was so real in very poignant ways. So I guess, I try to think of what can I share with people that might be useful, might be appreciated, and I can, I have to give from what I have to offer. But this thing of choice and responsibility for our actions, I think, is really huge. And yeah, so things that are weighty, just encouraging people to be really thoughtful and look, really take the time to look inside, really try to understand where the energy for that movement is coming from. Because you can learn a lot from that. And if there's tightening in your body, use that. That's an alarm. Look and see what's going on. Breathe into that tightening and see if you can relax it and if you can get some clarity just around what's the tension, what's causing that. And be patient with the process. And be aware of it as much as possible in even the little choices that you make. Because every day we have to make many choices. I've probably told this on a retreat before, but for some reason this is so, so strong in my memory. And it was when I lived down in the Bay Area and I worked in Palo Alto. And it was a weekday morning. People were in a hurry to get to work. And I was came to a four-way stop. And I was there and I was stopped. And another car came and I was just starting to go because they hadn't stopped yet. And she just kind of rolled through the stop. And, you know, that could have gone many ways. I could have gotten very indignant because she really ran the stop sign and I was there first. But fortunately what happened is I was kind of surprised, but I slowed down and then she looked at me. And see, often people don't look at you when they do something like that, but she looked at me. And because she looked at me, all of a sudden there was another human being there. And I smiled. And she smiled and then she kind of shrugged her shoulders like she knew she wasn't doing the right thing. And in that moment, we both went on our way and we both had smiles on our faces. And in that situation, it could have ended up different. I could have ended up upset and with my self-righteousness that I was in the right and she wasn't, and she could have been upset because I honked my horn at her or something. And we carry those things with us, and they affect our successive moments often. And I can't say that I made a conscious choice in that, but I think the choice was made in choosing to take on a practice that encourages metta, that encourages compassion, that encourages mudita, that encourages equanimity, that encourages us to look inside and to be honest with ourselves. That's a really small thing. There are some pretty major things. And I think we're heading into some pretty major things for some of us, for all of us, some big changes. And yet I don't feel overwhelmed because there's goodness out there. And because we have our Kalyanamitta. The Dalai Lama says, it's going to be okay. that was his comment on Trump as president. He said, it will be okay. So we should all feel... you'll see the headlines when you go out if you Google it. but that is, you know, the Dalai Lama's been through a lot and their country's been through a lot, and if he can say that, something. He knows. So I was, I don't want people to start thinking about the election and stuff, but I just want to bring this side into it because it has come up in questions and stuff. I woke up Wednesday morning and I already had a feeling before I went to bed, but to actually see the truth, what came up was a sense of fear. It wasn't overwhelming fear, but that's what came up. That's what I was feeling. And we have construction going on at our monastery. So there's people coming in from outside, subcontractors, carpenters, working on the various projects in the construction. And one of the carpenters I know very well, he's a really good guy. You know, he even when his granddaughters aren't there, he likes to watch those Pixar movies, you know, for children and stuff. there are some people who wouldn't admit that. And, I mean, I think they're great too, so. But I know he was very much voting other than I did and had some pretty strong feelings about it. But I was really touched because he can be a very vocal person and he can express things in a very strong way. He has no problem with that. But he said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "I feel fear." And he just said, and this was not condescending, it was completely from his heart. He said, "It'll be okay, Debbie." And so that was a gift for me, because what this brings out is the goodness in others, no matter what their beliefs are, what they think, because none of us really knows. And that was very helpful. I was very grateful. And then he said, "Now we can live in harmony again. We can put down all this bickering," which was also kind of, I hope that's true. But, I mean, nothing's going to be different than it ever has been, really, so there's always going to be politicking. But I think if we really apply the practice, really make conscious choices with clarity, if we're aware of the tension, then that's a signal to just back off for a minute, pause and catch your breath. And we have our Kalyanamitta. We have our centers for support. And there's things we can do that still fly the banner of what we believe to be the right way to do things or the things that are important. And we do our best. And we support others in that process. Bhikkhu Bodhi's just coming out. I think it's already printed and coming out for sale soon. His book on social harmony or community harmony. And so it's a compilation of different suttas that support that idea of community harmony. I'm not getting the name exactly right, but that's the essence of it. I try not to do anything that's exact from memory because I don't have one. So I think we just have to be really, use a lot of clarity, be conscious of our choices, and be patient. A few of us in the community go to see a physiotherapist in town. And so the first thing I got from him was a lot more direction of how to be in my body more, and really spent a lot of time focusing on body sensations and being more aware of walking and movement and muscles and posture. And when I went on a self-retreat, this was a year ago, and a lot of my self-retreat was, you know, paying attention to my body, my posture, the muscles. And I had this kind of mantra that I kept saying, and it was just like, you know, just be expansive and at ease. Just relax. Just really trying to get into the tension and let it go. And it's not easy, but it's a really good practice. Because sometimes the tension in the body, if you can release that, the tension in the mind feels the relief as well. And then he gives us, this physiotherapist, he's a gift. He's got a great gift. He gives us stretches. And, you know, it's recommended to do them 2-3 times a day. And when he's teaching, he'll go through them first with us, and sometimes he'll have to do a pressure point to relieve the tension because it's kind of deep, just to get us started. But then it's our responsibility to keep going with the stretches and to keep things in good shape. And I kind of got busy and tired, and I let my stretches go. And I paid the price. I started having all my neck pain back, and so I went to see him again because something else was going on, and got re-inspired. And then this retreat, I've just really been diligent, and this is so much like our practice. Come on a retreat, and we meditate. We make a point of morning meditation, evening meditation. We sit during the day. We're reflecting on these things. And then how often do we get out there and we get caught up in the world, and we kind of let those things that are really wholesome and useful slide a bit. And it doesn't take much. These stretches, they really don't take much to do them. Even if I just do them twice a day, it doesn't take much. And already I feel the benefits greatly, just from doing them diligently again. And being on retreat, already I feel the benefits from sitting together with a group of people and making that a priority. And that's a choice. So I'm making an adhitana in front of all of you, which is a determination that I will continue with my stretches because that's good for me. And I want to do what's good for me because a happy body is a happy mind in large part. And so, yeah, it's choices, it's patience, being diligent, working with these things and really doing what's good for us. I mean, we're all here. We've already taken a big step in that direction, and most of us have been trotting along that path pretty consistently for some time now. So I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just reminding you. Just like I needed the reminder that those stretches, it's really good to do them every day, a couple times a day, and it really doesn't take much out of the day. Even when I'm tired, I can do them. And I'm much happier if I do. Yeah, so reflect. I encourage you to reflect on choices that you can make, things that are priorities. And remember that we have the freedom to make those choices. And we have the opportunity. And then we don't point our fingers so much. We learn to accept responsibility, and that helps us kind of helps us refine that process of making choices. And even if we don't know, and we don't know what the outcome will be, we'll always know that we gave it consideration and that we acted from the most clarity that we could and from a foundation of goodwill. And then the regrets... The regrets aren't there, or they're minimized. And I think that's huge. And we may feel like we make a mistake, but we can never know for sure because we don't know what an alternative choice might have brought. So it's kind of like we make choices and we accept the responsibility and we do it with an intention to be as skillful and wholesome as we can be with as much kindness. And then we accept the outcome. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's like feeling, it's neutral. I guess the main thing that's been kind of running through, wasn't quite sure how I was going to put it together, but I think that kind of says what's been going on in my heart recently. And yeah, just encourage everybody to keep it up. You've made some good choices. And I'll leave it there and hope some of that's useful.